Reading will be from Leviticus, chapter 11, verses 1 to 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Say to the Israelites, of all the animals that live on the land, these are the ones that you may eat. You may eat any animal that has a divided hoof and that chews the cud. There are some that only chew the cud or only have a divided hoof, but you must not eat them. The camel, though it chews the cud, does not have a divided hoof. It is ceremonially unclean for you. The hyrax, though it chews the cud, does not have a divided hoof. It is unclean for you. The rabbit, though it chews the cud, does not have a divided hoof. It is unclean for you. And the pig, though it has a divided hoof, does not chew the cud. It is unclean for you. You must not eat their meat or touch their carcasses. They are unclean for you. Of all the creatures living in the water of the seas and the streams, you may eat any that have fins and scales. But all creatures in the seas or streams that do not have fins and scales, whether among all the swarming things or among all the other living creatures in the water, you are to regard as unclean. And since you are to regard them as unclean, you must not eat their meat. You must regard their carcasses as unclean. Anything living in the water that does not have fins and scales is to be regarded as unclean by you."
Thanks, Billy. Well, you might know that the barbecue's off now. No pork can be eaten. I'm just joking, of course. The barbecue's still on. We'll work out why it's on shortly. You've got lamb. Well, is there pork somewhere? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Billy... what? And jellyfish. Well, sharks are unclean too because they have fins but not scales. Anyway... doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, but we'll talk about it more. But let's pray. Actually, one thing before we pray, I should just say, as we normally say each week, keep your Bibles open. But this week, particularly keep your Bibles open, because I'm only going to show you the key verses. So I'll be referring to verses that aren't on the screen. So do that hard work. Anyway, let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak to us in it. Thank you that you speak to us even in books that seem so foreign to us. Father, please help us to see that your people are called to be different. Father, please help us to see that normal life distances us from you. Father, please help us to delight in Jesus, who washes us clean from every stain. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder if you would describe yourself as a clean person. If thumbs up means super clean, and if thumbs down means pretty messy, where would you be? And this is not a theoretical exercise. Let's do this. Where would you be? Come on, put your thumbs up. Where are you in the cleanliness scale? Are you up? That's really clean. That's really messy. Where are you? Or where do you think you are? I'm probably like, yeah. Anyway. Now, if you know me in any way, shape or form, you would probably describe me as a messy person. And that's probably a fair assessment. I do have a bunion on my left foot, which possibly makes me unclean. But when I was at uni, and I was living in a share house with Jason and others, my room had a particular name. I can't tell you what it is. It's not appropriate for church. But it was to describe its state. It was a very messy room. On my way to bed, I would clear a path through the stuff in my room to my bed. I would also take solid objects to bed to throw at the rats that would come into my room under the cover of darkness. It was pretty gross, to be honest. After a little while, it started to go into the hallway as well. Anyway, my housemates put up with me. It was a disgusting house, though, just... The standard was very low to begin with. Had carpet in the toilet. Now, sometimes I have moments of cleanliness. Sometimes if I'm camping, I like our site to look really clean and legit, and the tarp has got to be like super taut and on the right angle, so if it rains at all, it'll run straight off and look legit. I feel like I want our camping site to be in like a you know, like a four-wheel drive camping show or something like that. Just I'm just ready in case, like, Getaway or Jason and Simon from whatever that show is called come past and take a video or something. I'm clean sometimes. But generally, it's my wife and my colleagues that make sure that I adhere to some principles of cleanliness. You might be able to relate to that. You might think, Simon, yep, that describes you very well. Or you might think that describes someone else very well, or it describes you very well. Or you might think, Simon, I am much cleaner than you. And yes, I can feel your self-righteous judgment right now. Well, friends, as we dig into this next section of Leviticus, we're going to see that being unclean or clean is no small thing when you're living with a holy God. We're going to see that the people have daily reminders of what's clean and unclean. We're going to see that people also have regular reminders of what is clean and unclean. And we're going to see that often blood needs to be spilled to make the people clean. Friends, God is holy, and as he lives amongst his people, he wants his people to be holy as well, to be different to the nations around them. Well, please have your Bibles open there at Leviticus chapter 11. Our first point today is a daily reminder to be clean. Let's pick up the action from verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, say to the Israelites, of all the animals that live on land, these are the ones you may eat. You may eat any animal that has a divided hoof and that chews the cud. As God lives with his special people, there are daily reminders of who they are to be. What they eat matters. And so of the animals that live on the land, they can only eat animals that have a divided hoof and that chew the cud. And from verses 4 to 7, we get animals that don't quite fit the criteria. In verse 4, you get the camel, and the camel chews the cud, but it doesn't have a divided hoof. Now, if you've ever eaten the meat option on your kebab, I think you've eaten camel and a few other things listed here. Now, in verse 7, we find out that God's Old Testament people, they cannot eat the magical animal, the pig, which must have been really hard. No ham, no bacon, no pulled pork. That's tricky, right? God's Old Testament people, they can't eat meat from these animals. They can't touch their carcasses. It makes them unclean. And as the chapter continues, God outlines to Moses other animals they can and can't eat. From verse 9, we have living creatures in the water. From verse 13, we have birds. From verse 20, we have insects. From verse 29, we have animals that move along the ground. It turns out that you can't eat the gecko, which kind of, we can relate to that, right? Who would want to eat a gecko? They are dirty, unclean animals. My mum kills them at home with a fly swat. Any that come in that door, fly swatted. In the bin, unclean. From verse 41, every creature that moves along the ground is unclean. Maybe that's a reference to the garden and the serpent and him being cursed. Well, in chapter 11, God is spelling out what his people are allowed to chow down on and what they must not chew. But why is God doing this? Is he giving his people a super healthy diet that we should follow today? In fact, if we follow this diet today, will it cure weight gain? Will it cure illness? Will it drop your cholesterol? Will your blood pressure just kind of come magically down? Well, the answer is no. God wants his people to be different, to be holy because he is holy. And that's why he wants his people to have a special diet. To eat things that are different to the people that live around them. Look it up for me again from verse 45. It says this. I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore be holy because I am holy. These are the regulations concerning animals, birds, and every living thing that moves about in the water and every creature that moves along the ground, you must distinguish between the unclean and the clean, between living creatures that may be eaten and those that may not be eaten. God has rescued his people, and now they're to live in a way that's pleasing to him, they're to be holy just like he is holy. And each day, as they think about what they will eat, they're reminded. They're reminded that they are living in the presence of a holy God. They can only eat certain things. If they eat the wrong thing, they'll become unclean before their holy God, and they will not be able to come into his presence. Now, we'll think more about the whole unclean thing in our next point. But for now, we've seen that the people have a daily reminder to be different, to be holy. What they eat matters to God. It sets them apart from the surrounding nations. Now, one of the things that I love to do in my downtime is watch cooking shows on TV. I like the one on the SBS channel, channel 33. Some of my favourites are The Cook and the Chef. That's The Cook and the Chef there. It's Maggie Beer. I also like Food Safari Fire. It's how they cook meat around all sorts of different fire. It's basically what's happening this afternoon outside. It's Food Safari Fire. But I love meat cooked on fire. It's just so beautiful. I also like watching Jamie Oliver and the crazy salads that he makes. Actually, in the last week, I've made a couple of new dishes. Been a little bit inspired from the camp last weekend. Probably don't sound that inspiring to you, though. But I made chicken pesto pasta in like one fry pan thing, and I made my own pesto with pistachios and stuff. It was pretty good. And I also made, for the first time ever, chicken and bacon risotto on Thursday night. I don't think I'm making risotto ever again. I didn't realise you had to stir I just thought you put it in and then you boiled it up and then you're done. I was like, yes. It took a long time. And you know what the kids said? We don't like this. We don't want to eat this. It looks like porridge. But it was actually good risotto. Anyway. But imagine if every time I went to cook, I had to think, what proteins can I include in this or not? No bacon, no ham, no pulled pork, no prawn, no shark, Billy. Can't put it in there. It'd be hard, wouldn't it? It would be a daily reminder that you are living in the presence of a holy God. A holy God that says, you know what? It matters what you do. It matters what you eat. If you want to live in my presence, you must be clean. Now, we obviously live in a different time. You might be thinking, hey, didn't Jesus declare all foods clean? And yes, he did declare all foods clean in Mark chapter 7, verse 19. But as we live for a holy God, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16 make it clear that we are to be holy as well. We're to be different to the world and how we live. And obviously that flows over into the things we eat and the things we drink. Here are some things the New Testament has to say about what we might eat and what we might drink. The New Testament makes it clear that we shouldn't be given too much wine or too much wine. How is your alcohol intake going? Now, alcohol is not evil. God said it was good. He made wine to gladden the heart of man. But is your consumption different to that of the world? The New Testament makes it clear that you shouldn't eat to excess. How are you going with that? The New Testament makes it clear that we shouldn't be a stumbling block with the things we eat. How are you going with that? Being different to the world means we actually care about others and want to love and serve them. The New Testament makes it clear that we shouldn't be chowing down on our food while others go hungry. How are you going at caring for the poor? The New Testament makes it clear that we should be hospitable. Are you using all of your food to serve yourself? Or are you sharing some of your food? Well, how are you going with that? Friends, Jesus did indeed declare all foods clean, and praise God for that. But as we seek to live for our holy God, we're called to be holy. We're called to be different. We're called to live in a way that's pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Are you being different to the world around you with how you use food and how you use alcohol? Well, friends, the people in Leviticus, they had daily reminders of what was clean and unclean. They could eat certain things and they couldn't eat other things. But we're about to see there's not just daily reminders to be clean, there's other regular reminders to be clean, because these people are living in God's presence. That brings us to our second point this afternoon, regular reminders to be clean. And the things we're about to talk about are things that the people can't really avoid or prevent, but they still make them unclean before their holy God. There are lots of examples from chapter 12 through to chapter 15. We're just going to pick up on a few. Well, let's pick it up. Chapter 12, starting at verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, a woman who becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days, just as she is unclean during her monthly period. On the 8th day, the boy is to be circumcised. Then the woman must wait 33 days to be purified from her bleeding. She must not touch anything sacred or go to the sanctuary until the days of her purification are over. If she gives birth to a daughter, for 2 weeks the woman will be unclean as during her period. Then she must wait 66 days to be purified from her bleeding." Here we come across a regular part of God's Old Testament people's lives. A woman gives birth. It's part of what humans were kind of called to do in the garden. Adam and Eve were called to be fruitful and multiply. They're kind of following the command. But as they do that, the woman becomes unclean. And I'm sure that you would have noticed that the lady, if she gives birth to a girl rather than a boy, she is unclean for twice as long. Now, people have offered different reasons as to why this might be the case. I don't think we can really know the real reasons. We can have guesses. But it's how God's people were to be different to the nations around them. The woman is unclean, and she needs to wait out the period of time it takes for her to be purified. But then, as verses 6 to 7 make clear, she'll need to offer a sacrifice. And the priest will offer the sacrifice to make her clean before the Lord. Now, being unclean is different to sin. A lady giving birth, she hasn't sinned, but she has become unclean before God, and she must follow the correct procedures to become clean. Now, this whole unclean, clean thing, it's hard to get your head around. It's hard to make sense of it. But imagine this. God is a holy God. As we slowly move away from our holy God, we get good things, clean things, things that can come into God's presence. But as we keep moving away from our holy God, we move from clean things into unclean things, things that cannot come into God's presence. As we keep moving away from God, we go from God to clean things, to unclean things, to sinful things. Being unclean is different to sin, but being unclean still separates you from God. These cleanliness rules are a reminder that general life causes us to drift away from God. It causes us to be unclean. Well, friends, it's not just childbirth that makes you unclean. If you have certain skin diseases, the priest will pronounce you as unclean, and all of that is spelled out in chapter 13. And if you're freaking out that you've got a boil on your leg that no one can see, if you're freaking out that you've got some dandruff on your shirt or some psoriasis on your head, and we're going to kick you out, well, don't be afraid. These rules are for God's Old Testament people. Things are different for us. But we get a sense of how these people must have felt at the end of chapter 13. Have a listen to chapter 13, verses 45 to 46, it says this. Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. It's a pretty full-on picture, isn't it? If you have a skin disease, it's clearly embarrassing. It's clearly a lonely time. It's clearly an isolating thing. It must have been really hard. And you can see how these commands would help to keep disease out of the community. But these commands don't capture every disease that could come into the camp. But it's not just having babies or skin diseases that make you unclean. We find out towards the end of chapter 13 that fabrics and houses can also have diseases and also need to go through a process to become clean. There are also other things that make humans unclean. Take, for example, discharges. Leviticus 15, verses 1 to 3, it says this. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when any man has an unusual bodily discharge, such a discharge is unclean, whether it continues flowing from his body or is blocked. It will make him unclean. This is how his discharge will bring about uncleanness. Now, it's hard to know what this unusual bodily discharge is. Maybe it's talking about a urinary tract infection or an STI or something like that. But this unusual bodily discharge, it makes this guy unclean. And in the following verses, it outlines what else it makes unclean. And when this discharge finally stops, this guy has to wait 7 days and then go and offer a sacrifice to become clean. It also talks about discharges from women in the rest of chapter 15. It must have been a hard time to live. The people must have regularly felt uncomfortable, unclean, awkward. It must have been pretty embarrassing. You must have felt ashamed. Hey, Kevin, are you coming to the tabernacle today? Nah, sorry, I can't. Don't ask me why, but. Now, I reckon we have a little taste of how this must have felt from COVID-19, particularly when it first came out. Remember when COVID-19 first came out? If you were in public, like say you were in church like this, and someone behind you sniffled. If they sniffled, or maybe they choked on their water a little bit, or a little bit of popcorn got caught in their throat, and they're like, everyone in the whole room was ready to stand up and say, unclean, unclean, get out, outside the camp. You know that you would have done that, right? You were just waiting to say it. And if you were that person, you're like, oh no, it's just, I've got sinuses, I know I'm unclean, and you're freaking out, right? I was freaking out. I think we have a little taste in all of that, but only a little taste of what it must have been like to be God's Old Testament people. Well, friends, food or regular parts of life could make God's people unclean. And it seems like in most of the cases, blood is needed to make the people clean. Friends, we are very lucky to live in a different time. Jesus has declared all foods clean. This afternoon can go ahead. You can freely delight in the bacon and eggs that you had this morning with a side of camel. You can delight in that. There's no shame there. You're not unclean. But Jesus has also come to wash us. And not just from sin, but from our uncleanness. From the way that regular life distances us from our holy God and from each other. Have a listen to one more passage with me. It's Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45, and it says this. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone. but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. In these verses, we come across a guy with leprosy, but it's probably better to understand that this guy has a skin disease, like one of the ones described in Leviticus. And remember, the priest actually can't heal this guy. The Old Testament priests, they couldn't heal anyone. They could just offer sacrifices once someone was clean and then pronounce them clean. Well, here this man, he asks Jesus. He says, "Jesus, if you're willing, please make me clean." Well, Jesus is indignant, which is a bit weird. He's angry. But I think he's angry at the way that this broken world separates us from God. And so Jesus reaches out and he touches this guy. Remember, this guy wouldn't have been touched since he got this disease. It would have been a very special moment for him, like one of those kind of feeling fuzzy in his body. And Jesus says, "You know what? I am willing," which is beautiful. And then Jesus commands this man to be clean. Jesus is commanding the disease to go away and the uncleanness to go away. And immediately this guy is healed and becomes clean. And do you notice that Jesus doesn't become unclean? Now, Jesus tells this guy not to tell anyone so his mission can continue. And this guy is to go to the priest and offer the sacrifices so that he can come back into the community, he can be part of God's people again. But did you notice that he is to offer the sacrifices Moses commanded as a testimony to them? The law can't fix this guy's problem. The law could just say this guy was unclean. But Jesus heals this guy and pronounces him clean. Friends, not only can Jesus wash us clean from sin, Jesus can wash us clean from everything that distances us from God, everything that makes us unclean. So if you're here this afternoon and you feel like you shouldn't be here, you shouldn't be here in amongst God's people, maybe because of your sin, maybe because of the things that have happened to you in your life, maybe because of the thoughts that you sometimes have, maybe because of just other stuff that just makes you feel unclean. Well, friends, if you trust in Jesus, he washes you clean. He removes every single stain from your life. And you definitely belong in here. And you definitely belong in God's forever people. And friends, if Jesus can wash us clean from every single stain, well, surely we want to live for him. Surely we want to live a life that's pleasing to him. Surely we want to be holy just like God is holy. Well, friends, let's pray that that would be the case. Let's pray. Father, thanks so much for your word. Father, some of this stuff is hard to get our heads around. Father, it's hard to see how some of it makes us unclean. But Father, help us to be holy because you are holy. And Father, help us to know that Jesus declared all foods clean. Father, help us know that Jesus' blood on the cross washes us clean from our sin, but also all the things that might separate us from you. Father, help us to know that we can confidently come into your presence. Help us know that we can confidently be part of your people because all of our uncleanness has been washed away. And Father, help us to be people who want to live in a way that's pleasing to you with all that we do, with all that we eat and we drink, with everything in our lives. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.